okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay this man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they gonna say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're gonna make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Welcome up, Big Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Matt Wilbur on the board. We have also Mr. Lou Michaels. Lou, how are you?
Very good, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. We have SP Futures up 11:50. I'm shocked, Lou, shocked that there's gambling in this establishment because the president came out and said we're not going to do a Chinese deal till 2020. The market gets in a crapo 2 days, and all of a sudden, we're actually making some progress. Don't be surprised if we are doing pretty good here and we're back up 2 days. Have we seen this movie before?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much.
Perfect timing.
Yes. Mr. Weber's been good on that the last couple of days.
One of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, God, yeah. I think there's, out of all the, if you look at the, well, according to somebody anyway, the 100 best movie one-liners, I think like 10 of them or 9 of them are in Casablanca. By far more than any other movie.
I believe that because it was such an effective movie, and I mean it appeals across so many different themes with the war background and the love story and the betrayal and everything else going on there. I thought it was it's a fantastic film, and if people haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. So I understand that there's an opening for your chief of police job right now.
Well, he actually was retiring anyway, and they already put an interim guy in there.
Yeah.
So he really wasn't doing it.
There's an opening now.
Well, no, but he was leaving in 3 weeks. He was retiring, and
What was the point of firing him?
You sound like our guest the other day, Audrey, and my significant other. What is she doing? Why can't she just let the guy retire? Everybody likes the guy. Was she out of her mind?
This is one of these things that, I mean, as an employment lawyer, this is one of these things that you go to your client and you say, are you trying to buy trouble? You know, because a firing versus a resignation is always more problematic. And in addition, a firing in lieu of allowing a guy to retire, I always told people, if you're going to do that, you need to make sure you know why you're doing it, and you need to be able to articulate why you're terminating this guy and why it's so important to terminate this guy and not let him serve another minute for you. And I think she did that. I think Mayor Lightfoot did that. I just wonder what kind of a message, you know, she was sending. I know the message she says she was sending. I can't have a guy who tells me, you know, falsehoods after I've talked to him about, you know, hey, I just had a few drinks and it was my medication that caused me to be tired, as opposed to I was getting plastered at Ceres, your watering hole, by the way. I was getting plastered at Ceres with some woman that I was seeing, and I didn't want to, you know, tell that to you.
So, Lou, you've read all the articles.
I just don't know if that message is that important.
I'm gonna ask you a very simple question. The idea of getting plastered at Ceres, which, by the way, is easy to do if you drink the mixed drinks.
Yes, it is.
If I were to add, what time do you think Ceres closes?
I wouldn't know, gentlemen. I wouldn't know.
What time do you think Ceres closes?
On a weeknight?
Yeah.
I'd say 11:30 p.m.
Try 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And not one of the articles does it mention, in the midst of all the parts about the big drinks and how you can get drunk in there and it's Trader Bar and blah, 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 does it mention it was 4.5 hours before the guy was caught? Wouldn't you think, if you're writing the article, you might want to fill it in a little bit?
Yeah, that's a significant factor.
But they, nobody ever assumes that a bar closes at 8 o'clock, but they do.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So where's the lost time?
Evidently, Valare, from what I understand.
Little Italian joint in Streeterville.
Yeah.
Oh, a restaurant. He was at a restaurant for the remaining hours. Okay.
Probably had a couple bottles of wine, or maybe kept the cocktails going, and then had some pasta, and there you go. Sleepy and intoxicated.
Next thing you know, you're asleep in your police car.
Right. Well, you know, it happens.
So let's go back. Let's go back then. It wasn't the being asleep in the police car that got him fired. It was the fact that he was in uniform, had been drinking, and was less than forthcoming about it with the mayor. Is
right.
that fair enough?
Right. I would say that every person I talked to at Siri said, the guy's not doing anything anymore. What's the difference? He's been relieved of, I mean, he pretty much was relieved of duty when this guy came in. He's got an interim replacement. I'm not justifying the mess that, if anybody else was caught like that, they'd have been hauled in jail probably. But if, well, maybe, yeah, who knows? But the, certainly in the suburbs you would have been. But the, I just don't know what, he's basically been put out to pasture. That's probably why he's sitting in a bar drinking. So
what's the message she's trying to send? Is she trying to alienate the police force? This guy was popular with the union, wasn't he?
Yeah. So then the weird part is
who she's bringing in.
I gotta ask you a quick question: was the police chief still in the union?
No, he's not. He's a member of management, so he can't be part of the union. But, you know, he certainly has close ties to the union if he came up through the ranks. That was the big upset over Jody Weiss. You know, he was an outsider. So the question now is, given the problems they've had with Chicago cops, and I'm sure Jody Weiss is laughing all the way to the broadcast news studio after all the stuff that's happened since he left. But are we back to where we were when Jody Weiss was brought in? Is she going to use this as a way of reaching out outside the Chicago police force and going and pulling in an outsider from somewhere who's not beholden to anybody but her?
Well, the original Mayor Daley had to do that. Remember that story? When he brought in O.W. Wilson, who refused to wear a uniform, so nobody liked him. Remember the Summerdale police scandal?
I wasn't here for that one. That one I don't remember.
I was young, but get a little of this, man. Before there were cell phones and cameras, they caught all these cops on tape hauling all these boxes of stuff out of some warehouse. So even Mayor Daley one was Buffalo. How they did that? What kind of camera somebody had? I have no idea. Must have been a news camera, would be my guess. Who else had cameras in those days? And I mean, cameras that could do film. It was a motion picture, and he brought in O.W. Wilson, and O.W. Wilson was never popular for morale, but he was a terrific police chief. I mean, McCarthy was kind of, was it McCarthy or Weiss? Weiss.
Weiss was the guy. Weiss was the guy who busted the gang leadership and destroyed the gang structure.
Right. But they had I guess
the big thing that got Weiss. I remember the first thing. The guy comes in, and the first thing you noticed about him was he was obviously a bodybuilder or a weight trainer, and looked really fit. And the first thing he did that absolutely alienated him with the union was he said, I'm tired of looking at all these fat police officers running around here. We're going to put some physical fitness tests
in. Is that what you see when you come into Stacks and Jacks? We're all bodybuilders? Is that what you see when you come into Stacks and Jacks? A bunch of bodybuilders?
Oh, at Stacks and Jacks?
Stacks and Jacks.
I don't know.
Just saying, we're building something.
You guys aren't a bunch of, let me put it this way. You, Maddie, you know, John, all you guys look fitter than a lot of Chicago police officers I saw wandering around on the street.
Well, that's the truth. Hey, but Lou, they said, now walk me through this. They said that when she fired him, he dropped down to the rank of lieutenant, which must have put him back in the union or something. And then now today, the story is that she has not only fired him from police chief, she's fired him from the police force. He's not even a lieutenant anymore. seems like it's a little bizarre. She wouldn't even let him be a lieutenant for 3 weeks.
So this. I mean, now, you know, again, if I was an employment lawyer talking to somebody who's doing this, I'm going to say, now this looks personal. What are we doing? You need to be able to articulate very clearly why you're not allowing this guy, this long-term employee, who's got a lot of idiosyncratic credit built up with the cops, you're not allowing him to retire, you're firing him, you're removing him. I mean, I assume he's going to get his pension. But you need to be able to articulate very clearly why you're doing this, because otherwise this looks personal. And if it looks personal, you're going to lose the police force. You're going to lose your employees.
You know, Lou, we just had a guy. This is going to sound awful, but I don't know how else to say it in my South Side vernacular. We just had a guy croak. Which one was it, Matty? Former police chief from years and years ago. A guy just died. We have something like 6 or 7 former police chiefs on pension at like 2.25 a year, or 250. It's a huge number. How do you have so many people that you fired in the last 15 years? Can't you get somebody that you like, put in there for a while? For God's sake.
Because the short answer is that if that job would be a lot easier if all people were interested in was enforcing the law.
Well, that's the truth.
And fairly enforcing the law. But that's not what people are interested in. They're not interested in enforcing the law. They're interested in all the other social justice stuff that gets attached to that. And they're interested in patronage. And they're interested in, you know, votes.
Lou, do you think the only people that make money...
All of that ties into making that job a lot more difficult than it, I mean, it's a difficult job anyway, but that just multiplies the difficulty orders of magnitude.
Do you think the only people that are making money off the city's drug trade are the drug people?
Well, we know that's not the case. Wasn't there at least one or two aldermen that had like active drug gang people working on their staffs?
Well, I mean, the areas that my people will tell you about, some of the areas where they have like the flop house hotels where they have, you know, all kinds of people living there at night that are not code and anything like that in these horrible neighborhoods. How much money that is and how much those guys pay off, like aldermen and stuff. It's a big number.
I don't know about that. I just know that the police are charged with a very, very difficult job, and yet their leadership and the political leadership of the city is basically starts out trying to handcuff them from doing that job from day one, and the union handcuffs them from putting quality control in.
Pretty much.
So that they can do the job properly from day one. And they are, their union is focused on getting votes and maintaining its political power, which means it protects everybody, you know, regardless of rank and regardless of performance. You have a huge, you know, anti-cop, element based on, in many cases based on race and not without some justification. That exists in the political structure there in Chicago. You have a gun problem that is exacerbated by the fact that a significant portion of the political leadership is absolutely against any type of tough gun enforcement that will result in gun criminals going to jail. And I was amazed the first time I read that, but it's absolutely true. So if you're a police officer walking the streets, you got a lot, there's a lot of baggage following behind you that's hooked onto your belt in addition to your gun and your flashlight and your handcuffs and zip ties and tear gas and everything else you're carrying.
The upshot of it is, and so most of them don't do anything.
So no, it doesn't surprise me that we cycle through police chiefs.
But I was actually like this guy a lot, but I have my, I don't know, Lou, I'm getting old, I can never vote for Hillary because I just can't get off her early episodes in Whitewater and the other stuff that only led up to the foundation. I just can't go there with her. This guy just happens to be something that my is kind of close to home, because when he got out of the military, he was in the South Pacific, had the white Irish skin. He had a melanoma, so they took it off a little company. In those days, they didn't go back and redo it to make sure they got everything. So I don't think they did. So he ended up with brain cancer in that, essentially that same spot. So the police, he was a policeman, and the man said she couldn't figure out why, but he loved that job, but probably easier in those days. And he was a big Irish guy. And the policeman did the surgery, and they couldn't pull everything out. So he was toast pretty much. But they put a plate in to relieve the pressure. So he was fine for a year and a half, really, before it got bigger and essentially killed him. The police said, "Well, hell, you were in a signal corps during the war," meaning he operated radios. He said, "Why don't you stay on the job and come and operate dispatch?" You know, which took him a day to learn, because he knew that. That's what he did in the Army. And so it was nice of him. I'm not going to criticize that at all. My mom says the first day, like a couple of your outfit, attorneys call him, say, "Here's the deal. If every time you get a call on an accident, before you dispatch your car, give us a quick call. It's 5 hours a call." Which in 1955 is big dough, or 54, right? And so they had the little powwow, and mom said they always talked everything over. And she says, we don't need that money, even though we're basically broke. Well, I mean, he was a policeman and she worked, so you know, they I'm sure in those days, for the low end spot they were, I'm sure they felt they were fine. They didn't need anybody's blood money, basically. Or nor did they want it. So they said no. So he didn't do it. Well, here it is. This thing comes out, was a year ago, maybe a year and a half, that they accused people in the 911 center of essentially calling attorneys to ambulance chase. And Eddie Johnson comes out and says this couldn't possibly be happening. I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. If I know about this, and it's been going on since the mid-50s, what's this guy doing telling me it's the first he's ever heard of it? He's either got to be blind or something. I mean, that's as old as Mrs. Leary's cow, for God's sake. Is you call an attorney before you dispatch the squad, right? It's the first he ever heard of it?
Classic. That's classic.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, again, it reflects something that has been systematic in Chicago for generations, and that is the crazy symbiotic relationship between private business and the state. And you know, that's like I've said many times on the show, that's the essence of fascism.
Well, that's where all the money is.
Hand in glove with the government.
That's where the money is. There are the people spending a big dough. Actually, in Chicago, we are seeing a lot of. But a lot of the construction where they pay up for, who would you rather work? I mean, my buddies that are doing some insurance work, they say if you contract for Notre Dame, if you were to take a look at what, I mean, they paid a lot for the football stadiums, but my buddies say if you were to go and see the way they go out for bid on a building, and how much they absolutely know how much that thing is supposed to cost down to the brick. They're way different than dealing with the University of Indiana or the University of Illinois. I mean, where you know how much you guys want. You know, I mean, it's
yes.
I mean, it's totally different. I mean, you know, I just
well, and that's because, and again, this goes back to another theme that we've developed in relation to things like tax bills and things like that. The public sector is always behind the private sector in terms of knowledge and expertise on things like this. Because, you know, the essence of your politics, your political system, is knowing, you know, not stuff, but knowing people. And that's what you do. You know people who know people. You know, I know a guy who knows a guy.
Well, you gotta have guys.
And that's how stuff gets done.
You can tell the essence of a guy by how many guys he's got.
Yeah, and so it's not a situation where you've got somebody who is, you know, an expert on construction or public policy that's going to be making your political decisions. It's, you know, it's the guy who's the friend of the alderman, or the guy who, you know, you think is gonna you know, win you some more votes with the police union or the, you know, the Hispanic club or whatever the point is. But it's not expertise on a particular area of law or public policy that comes down to making these decisions. And so you get this kind of deal.
Well, plus
where in the public sector, there's no expertise. And so, yeah, well, you know, how much do you guys want? What do you think is a fair price on this? As opposed to Notre Dame, which is run by business people, the private sector, who say, I know exactly how much that's going to cost, and this is what we'll pay, and we're not paying any more. And the contract you're going to sign is not going to be a no-bid contract. It's going to be a, you know, cost-plus contract or whatever.
Well, we were talking with
you.
I don't know if you listened yesterday. We were talking to Russell about when people, your name was mentioned a couple times.
Oh God!
Well, with the idea of this is a fascist sort of thing, because the right versus left bleedings right now versus capitalism versus socialism. And I was mentioning to Russell that the one way I can stop that argument, usually depending on how many cocktails people have had, is say, what do we have right now? What do you mean? Is it capitalism? Is it free market competition? Oh yeah. Well, name me five industries that you consider to be free market. Maddie and I did about five of them yesterday. Probably still food stores, although that might be shrinking a tad. Bars and restaurants, because anybody can get in the business if you want. Agricultural production. You know, but once you get, I don't think I could do 10. Maybe I could do 6 or 7 if I really thought about it, but. Most businesses are not that way. I mean, hospitals. Could you do a new hospital tomorrow? I don't know. Could you open up a new university? I don't think so.
You have to apply for something called a certificate of need.
Yeah, or do you need a? Could you open up a new med school? Could our friend Eric and 15 arts and letters? When I say arts and letters, but I'm trying to talk about a liberal arts school. Could they buy an abandoned Chicago public school building? Some of them are pretty darn big. Sink a couple of $1 million into it, and five or six, and end up with a nice building, and have a decent arts and letters 2-year or 4-year school for $12,000 a year. No, who's going to credit you, right? I mean, there's a lot of things you just can't do, and that's why the prices go flying up in those areas and not other areas. But does anybody have to worry how much Nick and Dino's Tripoli Tap pays himself? The answer is no. Because if Nick paid himself $300,000 a year, there wouldn't be any beer in the place, right? Does anybody have to worry about the guy at the Butera's food store where they have 4 food stores? How much he pays himself? No. No, you got to worry about how much the guy at Commonwealth Edison's paying himself, right? You probably should have to worry about how much the guy at United Airlines is, because there's only 4 airlines. You know, so I mean, it's once you start walking down that road, the realm is dramatic. I mean, and you can't. I don't know what our system is. It's this middle management gets paid a fortune sort of thing. I mean, I don't know how you come back from this. I really don't. I mean, some of the numbers I'm hearing, you know, because guys know I'm on this subject all the time. I just got somebody write in the other day, said he was one night in a hospital is $14,500. One night, Lou, for God's sake.
Well, it gets even better, Chief. The Trump administration put out a regulation that was requiring hospitals to publish price lists. They've gone into federal court to enjoin it.
Yeah.
So that those prices don't come out, because they know darn well that if people start comparison shopping, they're going to lose.
But you know, but I don't know how you we can see what's wrong. Well, I'm not exactly sure how you fix it. I mean, how do you go back when we have a hospital combination like every 2 months here in Chicago? And you got some places closing, and some places getting bigger and bigger. How do you decide?
You have to start deregulating, and you have to do it in a reasonably intelligent way.
But you can't.
So that you don't crash the system on the way out.
But you almost need to regulate it out of the fact the way it is. You got to regulate it back to competition. It's not going to go by itself.
No. That's what I mean. You have to remove the constraints that you know force. Force these guys into non-economic behavior.
All right, hold that thought, bud. SP Futures is still up 10.25. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Just a little Michael, just Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures are up 975. They're up a little more now. We came in or leaking a little bit. NASDAQ futures up 34. Yesterday was a pretty big bounce back day, although nowhere near as high as we were during the day. But still, it was a pretty good bounce back after two really bad days in a row. So we are, the headlines this morning, China gives little indication U.S. trade talks are progressing. So maybe they're selling spoos today. We're not sure, but this is a day-to-day thing. When they finally come up with some deal that they claim is a deal, By the time anybody reads it, is it even going to be any kind of a deal? I mean, who the hell knows? It's very, very, very strange. We also got OPEC is considering a deeper cut to its oil production. I don't know if those guys, I think that OPEC, other than having meetings and getting bowls of shrimp and drinks, I don't know if those guys really have any power anymore, certainly not in the old days. They seem to think they do.
Maybe so when they come in at 9 and they make their coffee, there's a bowl of shrimp waiting for them?
You can't drink over in Saudi, so you got to go to Vienna to drink, right?
That's true, yeah.
I think those guys behave a little differently on the road than they do at home. Just saying, you know, just saying. Hey, why don't you try me weather sports while I get my machine back up here?
I can do that. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a pretty good start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. We did have an earlier crash on the Edens inbound just before Foster Avenue that is causing delays. Lake Cook to Montrose, 33 minutes as traffic built up from that earlier crash. The crash has been cleared, but the congestion remains, so keep that in mind if you're coming inbound on the Edens. But once you get to the Kennedy, smooth sailing into downtown, so that's good news. Eisenhower looks good as well. Stevenson traffic building around Cicero, but no accidents or issues to report. Southside expressways are all quiet. Inbound Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford all looking good. Only accident in the area is in the western suburbs. Army Trail Road at Gladstone Drive. There is a crash out near Carroll Stream. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, it's going to be a relatively nice day here for the first week in December. Partly cloudy skies, a high of 46. Right now it is crystal clear and 31 degrees downtown. Should be decent weather for the Bears game tonight. We're expecting a 38 degree and dry kickoff with temperatures dropping down into the low to mid 30s as the game progresses. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 69 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 55. In sports, the Bulls beat the Grizzlies last night at the UC, 106-99. Suns were blown out in Orlando, losing to the Magic, 128-114. College hoops, DePaul, best start in 33 years, Chief. They moved to 9-0 and stay unbeaten as they topped Texas Tech down at Wintrust Arena, 65-60 in overtime to stay unbeaten. Notre Dame went to Maryland for the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and they were blown out by the Terps, 72-51. The Big Ten wins the Big Ten ACC Challenge, 8-6. Chief.
We have the DAX up 14. That's 0.1%. FTSE down 13.1%. CAC around up 40.7%, so not much going on over there. Asia, we got the Nikkei up 164. That's 0.7%. Shanghai up 21.7. Hang Seng up 154. 0.6%, but they were down yesterday. These guys are bouncing around kind of by the day. Bonds, Japan is retreating back into the negative, minus 0.04%. They had gotten a minus 0.02. I was hoping they'd pop positive, but they have not. The Bund, minus 0.30. And we're right at the same spot, 1.78 on the 10-year. Gold's up 30 cents, 1480. Silver back down under $17, 1685. We've got oil up 27 cents, 0.4%. They got Brent up 60 cents, 63.61. So we're at the higher end of the range here at 58.70. We'll see if we get any goose out of some of these oil stacks. We really haven't in a while. I mean, we still got Schlumberger trading 36. I think it was like 70-something a couple years ago. So just because the market appears to be up, you could easily be in areas of the market that look pretty down to you. You know, it's sort of interesting. So, Lou, what...
Joe writes in, Chief, on Twitter, a few more competitive industries. Craft brewing, industrial water treatment, HVAC, plumbing, tool and dime, home building, auto repair, barbershops. Point being, there's a lot more competitive industries than you think.
Interesting there. The emphasis on a lot of that is, of course, obviously cash, you know, cash businesses.
Well, it's also individual service.
You're not moving huge amounts of money, you know, electronically or whatever, and, you know, that. More service industries rather than the heavy manufacturing.
I will agree. Obviously, barbershops, beauticians, anything that's like individual service. Hey, lawyers.
Yeah. I wanted to just touch on the impeachment fiasco just a little bit, and just mainly just to direct the listeners' attention to a terrific testimony by Jonathan Turley, who I'm a big fan of anyway. You can read it online. It's he's got a link to it up on his webpage. I think it's jonathanturley.org. But his testimony is unlike the other three. I was really, of course, I'm only getting snippets of it over here in Europe. But the other
good
the
for
other
you
guys,
on the snippets part by the way.
The woman and the two guys came across as just insane. you know, almost the Trump derangement syndrome seemed really strong. I mean, it just they were, you know, there was not the kind of balanced assessment that I was kind of hoping we would see in terms of history or anything else. Turley was the only guy that provided that, and I would encourage people to look at his statement that he gave, and look at what he basically says. And I mean, what he says is what I've been saying all along, which is one of the reasons why I like it, obviously, which is that this is such a confused, incompetently pursued process with really no clear picture in place. I mean, when you contrast it to the Clinton impeachment, which was based on, you know, four or five very clear things that had been developed in the record. You know, the perjury was undisputed. Compare that to what we're getting right now with the president and what happened in Ukraine, and it's incoherent. You know, tell us what happened. And so they are all over the place, and it comes across as sloppy, and it comes across as politically motivated. And the one thing it doesn't come across as, at least not clearly, is conduct that everybody agrees on is impeachable, or conduct that ought to trigger an impeachment. I mean, they're now raising an issue on something called abuse of power, and that's it's a very amorphous standard, but it's also very dangerous. If you want to proceed against this president on abuse of power, I mean, Turley went back and did an exercise where he said, let's just reach back and look at the last, you know, 8 or 9 presidents, and I can identify specific instances in every one of them, starting with President Obama's bombing of Libya, that was a clear abuse of power that would have been impeachable under this standard. It's very reminiscent of that famous line in the play A Man for All Seasons, where I believe it's Beckett has the line that they're talking about using, going after the devil, and the Archbishop of Canterbury says something to the effect of, look, you know, you can't just run roughshod over the laws that even if they would give protection to the devil, and his arguing opponent says, listen, I would cut down, I mean, if the devil was hiding behind the laws in England, I would cut down every law in England to get at the devil, Beckett turns and says, and when the devil turns on you, then where would you hide? What would you do, having cut down all the laws that would normally protect you? What are you going to do now? And it's very reminiscent of what this kind of impeachment looks like.
The wholesale
subpoenaing of all those phone records and then just publishing them, including, you know, press and congressmen and all this. I mean, that should raise a major uproar.
Lou, I would say that there's a
changing target. I mean, all of that is really, really dangerous.
It happens. We need to straighten a lot of stuff out. I saw two things, to me, more impeachable since this thing started than this thing ever was. I don't know. The part about, what did he do? We killed the guy from, I keep forgetting the name of the place. The guy over, we had the big raid on the guy we killed a few weeks ago, a couple months ago. ISIS guy.
Oh, Baghdadi?
Yeah, Trump said he told Putin and he told somebody else, but he wouldn't tell the two heads of the committees in Congress because he doesn't trust them. How the hell do you get to do that as a president?
The craziness of this lack of standard, I think it's really dangerous. I think the Democrats are opening up a can of worms that in their zeal.
I'll bet you $1, Lou, the next time I see you, I'll bet you $1 that it's going to end up being a censure and not an impeachment. And you can censure this guy all day long. Because every hour he does something that the president shouldn't do.
If they do it as a censure, I'll tell you what, Chief, if they were to do it as a censure, I would probably back that. Because I think they can make a case for that. I think the problem that they've got and they've had from day one is they cannot separate the conduct that the president engaged in which has a clear national interest portion and a clear personal interest portion. And I just think they are going to fall flat in terms
of that difference. You know what's interesting, Lou, is and I go back to this, how sometimes people are intelligent in the worst way. The reason why they've, I mean, let me ask you a question. If there had been no tape in 1974, would Nixon have gotten impeached? Or resigned?
Oh, I think he would have.
Right then or eventually?
Based on the testimony of the aides. Now, the testimony of the aides may have been triggered by the tape. But once the testimony of the aides came in and, you know, the Richardson break-in and all the other dirty trick stuff that those Haldeman and those guys were doing, I think there was enough to impeach him. Now, whether that was triggered by the tape, I don't know.
Because this whole mess, when this all started, me being the dummy that I am, I just said, you know, at some point, Republicans and Democrats, even if they hate each other, are going to sit down in the same room and they're going to listen to the tape. Then I realized, hey, there is no tape. And as soon as one side started talking about, here's the transcript, which could have been doctored, and other people saying they were on the phone call, heard something different, the minute I heard that, Lou, I'm going, there's no way somebody on the right is ever going to listen to somebody on the left or somebody else saying what's not in the transcript. Nobody even knows that there is no tape. Nobody has a clue. I've asked 100 people if there was a tape, and every one of them said yes, and there isn't one. I mean, they were going nowhere with this. I mean, it was never going to come to a, like you say, 3 or 4 point bullet points that said, here's what the man did, and here's why, and here's the proof. There's no way. Yet the incredible boorish behavior dealing with people overseas and the guy from Turkey at the White House and telling him what a great president he is, for God's sake, Lou, that should never have been at the White House. That guy doesn't deserve to be here. The guy's the next Hitler wannabe. And who are we kidding? I mean, what's going on here?
No, his thugs attack American citizens in the streets.
Yeah.
Just so we're talking about Erdogan in Turkey, and I mean that's happened a couple of times, and he's a bad guy, which then leads me on to my next point that I wanted to just discuss briefly, and that's the London terror attack.
Yeah, what happened there?
Which happened in, well, I mean, I'm fascinated by it because I was watching it, you know, sort of unfold in real time, and the first indication that I had
this the one two this one a couple weeks ago
there's a thing on my Twitter feed about a narwhal, and I was going, what? Some guy making a reference about a narwhal tusk. So I turn on BBC World Service, and of course there's the video, of these guys going forward. So it could not have gotten any more bizarre. You have a guy who is a convicted murderer who murdered a disabled woman in a wheelchair, apparently for the fun of it.
When did this happen? When did this happen?
Terrorist who was plotting not just to blow up the British Stock Exchange, but to assassinate Boris Johnson as the mayor and a number of other people. No question, he's on parole, and then you know, an immigrant Polish cook who happens to be in the hall where this is going on, he's the guy that grabs the narwhal tusk off the wall and drives the slasher back up against the side of the bridge while the guy with the fire extinguisher is hosing him down. The convicted murderer apparently jumps on the guy's back and takes him down. The people who are killed are two of the facilitators at this Let's treat prisoners, you know, right. And I mean, so you've got this crazy quilt of facts and fact patterns that are ruck. But what comes out of it, at least for me, is this absolutely asinine, and I consider this to be a progressive worldview, this absolutely asinine progressive worldview, that you're going to rehabilitate people like this jihadist. Who you know is willing to blow himself? I mean, he's coming out of a political philosophy that says, yeah, blowing yourself up is fine, or committing suicide is fine as long as you can take a bunch of infidels with you. And the idea that this guy would be let out on the streets, and the idea that we've got some kind of rehabilitation capacity to something like this, I mean, I just can't believe it. And to show how deep the rot has gone into UK society, because apparently this is a common belief, You know, the guy, the father of the young man who was killed by this terrorist, the father goes, I don't want his death to become, you know, an argument for people who think that we ought to be, you know, incarcerating people for longer than necessary. And I'm going, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, if I was one of your son's friends, I'd punch you in the face.
You know, Louis, at some point, and I, you know, I have the.
You're willing to sacrifice your children for this ideology? You got to be kidding,
Lou. You know, I have the Catholic upbringing, and that there's some good in everybody type of thing. But you know, you have to wonder. At some point, I watch these gang members here, and they make the 15-year-olds go out and do the killing. I mean, I don't know if that person is any possible way that you can. To not have any, I mean, past the age of 7 or 8, as my grandmother used to say, 7 is the age of reason. You're supposed to know right from wrong. I don't know that people, I mean, at some point, you know, I mean, you see it here with the gangbangers and people like, you know, this, it's all there. I'm going to say, I'll lob one out there. I'm going to say that of all the people that had kind of a crummy life, I'm going to say Hitler was right up there. Okay? I mean, he was, he was a Bohemian something something. He got in the war, in the army, and they hated him, and they used to beat him up because he was Bohemian and he was ugly. Looked like Charlie Chaplin, and, he lived on the streets for a while, and God knows. I mean, the dude didn't have the world's best life, okay? Probably not the best upbringing. But at some point, you gotta stop with all that and realize the man's a mass murderer. You just gotta get him and worry about his life later, right? I mean, at some point, you gotta cross over into, he's just a bad guy. He did it to himself, and we don't know why that happened, but you have people, Lou, that have families where they have 5 and 6 kids, and, you know, and 4 or 5 of them end up being pillars of community, nuns, priests, saints, God knows what, and one of them is just a bleep. Now, did they treat him any different than the other ones? Probably not. I mean, some people, I mean, I don't know if it's what they used to say, it was what, the third X chromosome or something, or the double Y chromosome. What did Richard Speck have? The double Y chromosome. I mean, I don't know what it is, but at some point, people, they prove time and again, they just can't be with other people somehow. I mean, why can't people realize that?
I mean, it's fascinating to see how this slippery slope, because it starts with the death penalty. We don't want to do the death penalty. We want to put people in jail for life. That's a reasonable, you know, that's the alternative. But then we're not willing to put people. I mean, the folks that argue against that death penalty are then not willing to put people in jail for life. They're not willing to incarcerate for life because, you know, it's unfair. It you know, everybody deserves a second chance. And, you know, the short answer is there's a lot of people out there that don't. I go back to Richard Pryor, of all people, in one of his albums in the 1970s. When he talked about one of his live routines, where he talked about going back to the, you know, penitentiary, and he says, I go back to the penitentiary and I sit down and I'm rapping with the brothers and I'm talking to the brothers, and after, you know, after a day or two of that, I come out thinking to myself, thank God we got penitentiaries, you know. it's a mindset that says, We can alter human nature, and you know, we can let these folks out. The people that do this have, I don't think, really have a concept of the depths of depravity that some of these folks are capable of. And I go back, you know, I go back. If you want something closer to home, look at the conduct of the Zetas or the Sinaloa cartel or some of the other folks that are you know, coming across the border from Mexico. Into some of our border communities with, you know, beheadings and, you know, bodies cut apart and, you know, just the unbelievably reckless murders.
Well, who's the guy that killed, what was his name?
Did you rehabilitate those guys?
Who's the guy who just died? The guy who killed Sharon Tate. Although he claims he didn't do it, his gang did it.
Charles Manson.
Yeah, the guy with the bug eyes. That dude, I mean, what did he, I mean, that was a, I mean, people just have this idea. I mean, going back to Leopold Loeb. I mean, two Jewish kids from the South Side want to see if they could pull a perfect crime off, but they didn't mean, most people, if you're going to do that, you have that kind of weird feeling in your heart, you try and steal 2 cases of beer from the 7-Eleven. You wouldn't kill somebody. You mean right? I mean, I wouldn't go do the cases of beer either, but if I was of that ilk, I would probably start small and see if I could, you know. I mean, I sure as hell would.
I have a very limited view of the death penalty because of the chance of error. But there are some guys I believe that you kill. And you kill because they are a threat to society, even inside the prison. And you kill because, you know, the society is entitled to a retributive justice or some form of retributive justice in the case of people who violate the social contract. But that does not mean the fact, you know, that I think it only ought to be used in very limited circumstances. That does not mean that I'm in favor of not putting people that I think are committed these horrific crimes, of not putting them away for the rest of their life. And we are, for whatever reason, the UK culture is not good on this. The Scandinavians are horrific. That guy who shot all those kids at that island, I want to call him a stormtrooper, but he's a right-wing nutball in Norway. I mean, he murdered dozens of people and in a shooting spree, set off bombs downtown, and I think he gets 20 years, you know, for 25 or 30 murders. I don't understand it. If you're not going to execute those folks, and that guy should have been executed in my mind, and in the right thinking society, he would have been. But if you're not going to execute them, you do not let them out.
No, I would.
Are you crazy?
But they're all. Everything's sort of different. I mean, if you could prove, I mean, the death penalty is we do it, I'm totally against. Okay, but if you could prove to somebody, I mean, I don't have that mentality of these people. I mean, what I try and cast down when you're on and other people is, you know, white collar crime. I mean, if a bank's stealing from people, the penalty's got to be, you know, however much they stole divided by the chance of getting caught, so they don't do it again. I approach those kind of criminals as being, A, they're criminals, but B, they're also rational, right? I mean, people don't feel free to drive 90 miles an hour in a construction zone in Illinois. They don't in Ohio, because the people in Ohio will stop you every single time, you know. So people are rational. They slow down in Ohio. They don't slow down here, right? Whatever. So I'm saying, if you could prove to me that if some gangbanger or somebody shoots three people the night before, and you were 100% sure that guy did it, and the next morning everybody walked to the L stop and saw that guy dangling from the tracks. If you could prove to me that would stop five other guys saying that, I don't want that to be me. I'd be with you, Lou. I mean, I mean, I'm not with you. As I'm saying, I said I'd be all for it. Matter of fact, I think it would be almost, if you actually could prove that would stop 10 other murders, it'd almost be immoral not to do it.
I think there is some deterrent factor there.
Let me finish for a second.
Not arguable is you deter that individual if you execute them.
Well, but I'm you saying if, the thing where we end up doing, like the state of Texas, what the last guy was, he was in there like 18 years. He'd become a preacher or something. He's teaching other people religion. They go, all right, you missed all your last appeal. We got to smoke you tonight. Whoa, what's the point of that? The guy's been there like 12, 15, 20 years. He's at this point, I'm not saying you should let him out like the Brits do, but do you really need to kill him on a Thursday night? I mean, what are you doing? I mean,
that's the Eddie Johnson. That's the Eddie Johnson firing, right?
Yeah.
That's the same mentality. You know, the process is the process, and we really don't care what's happened while the process goes on. That's one of the reasons why I don't think the death penalty should be used except in the most extreme circumstances where, you know, you've got a guy who is a legitimate danger, or where the nature of the crime was so heinous that societal standards call out for, you know, having the guy taken out permanently.
Lou, I'm still convinced you're going to talk me out of it, I'm sure. I'm still convinced that they couldn't wait to kill Timothy McVeigh because somebody else was involved in that, and they didn't want him to all of a sudden one day come clean. He's the first guy, the only guy I've ever known.
Nothing surprises me. After the Jeffrey Epstein thing, nothing surprises me.
All right, Lou, bud. When are you coming back? Are you over there? How many more weeks are you there before you come back?
I'll be over here pretty much through the holidays. So.
All right. Well, good luck to you. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. SP Futures up 10 and a quarter, and NASDAQ Futures up 35. Right back, Mr. Ferrari-Hamzy.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom. I just met over on the board with Mr. Frank Hamzy in a second. SP Futures up 8 and a quarter. AZF Futures up 28. How are you? We're leaking a little bit. We came in, we were up 1250, so we're down.
I can hardly hear you guys. What's going on with this phone?
Well, maybe I'll talk a little louder. Maybe you should put it closer to your ear or something.
I think it's a VoIP down here.
Well, I could.
Can I call you guys back on my cell?
Yeah, Mr. Tech, how you doing down there? Yeah, call us back. Dow Futures
it's
up 90.
It's not wet. It's dry. Yeah. But it's freezing. It's 56 degrees here.
That's not freezing.
I'm sunny.
DAX is now down 4.
And then the daytime gets to 70. Let me call you on my landline. I mean, my cell phone. This is done. One sec. Be right back.
Okay. DAX down 4. Call that flat. FTSE down 16.2. How you
sounded
doing?
Sounded good on our end.
Yeah, he sounded fine. I don't know, but maybe he's on his yacht. CAC ran up 38.6%. So Europe has moved flat to down. Nikkei up 164.7%. And Shanghai up 21.7%. Hang Seng up 154.6. Now, they were down a bunch yesterday. Bonds, 10-year yield. Japan going the other way, minus 0.04. The Bund is 0.30 negative. 10-year, 1.77. After all this moving, we're all of a sudden, we've been between 1.76 and 1.79 now for, like, seems weeks. Gold up $1.30, 1481. Silver up 1 penny, 1685. We've got oil up 22 cents. The high end of the range now, 58.65. That's assuming this is the range. If we stay here, Brent up 53 cents, 63.53. Natural gas, 243, still pretty low for early December. We must be thinking, Farmer's Almanac must say it's going to be a mild winter. RBOB 161, I was telling everybody, gee, you got to buy gas at 228, and we'll get a spike in November. And all of a sudden, we had a couple few days, and no spike, Benny. I mean, you're still up a little bit, but oil rises, OPEC weighs deeper output cuts, they say. And China gives little indication U.S. trade talks are progressing. So, she loves me not on these trade talks. All yours.
Hello, how does it sound now?
You sound fine. You sounded fine before, but we're about to do traffic, weather, sports.
Oh,
we already did that.
All
right, we already did that once. So why am I going through all this stuff? Because I figured I'd let everybody know what's going on in the world because you were trying to get another phone. How's that?
No. I was on VoIP line. Okay, oh, right. Landline to IP, but it's not working. This is a new Galaxy S10 5G. It's awesome.
Why don't you
Tico paid for it. So.
Why don't you just like call?
Sounds great too.
Call the phone company with all these people down in Florida.
We don't have time for that.
And say
we trade futures.
Say you're over 65. And
I mean, remember stocks and jocks. We don't do stocks. I'm doing futures.
Tell me
no time for that.
Tell you you're an elderly.
By the way, what time is it? Oh, I forgot, Murray. Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
We had
a very, very interesting evening last night at our Christmas party.
Really?
The chief, you should have seen my babe. The date's very, very hot. From Miami, tall blonde. About, I'd say, what, 5'8", 5'9"? No, probably 5'. I know, at least 5'9". 23, thin, tall blonde, probably 110. Used to model in Miami.
This wasn't hot. This wasn't
hot. So I get here at 3 in the morning. I don't fall. Then I go into a Tico Estates here, right? I can't take him. It was a Capital Grill. Oh, senor, we did McKellen 30s.
Really?
Christmas special, $400 a shot. So I had three of them. That was $1,200 for just drinks. I mean, well, I'm sorry, the scotch part. Right. So I get here at 3 in the morning. I had to leave Tico here. Tico starts his court-martial. Where have you been?
Yeah.
Why are you so late? Yeah, so I fall asleep around 4. And here it is, 7:45. I gotta be at the phone talking to the chief about the stocks and jocks. Listen, with a babe like that, who worries about the stocks and jocks?
Was this a rental?
She was not a rental. No. I've been seeing her several days.
Well, there you go. Good for you.
Huh? We don't do rentals.
We did this.
Remember, this is a Chicago. This is not Chicago. This is Naples.
We were out in when I was on the board of the SIBO. One of the guys on the board with me, still a friend.
He was doing rentals?
No, but he liked the expensive booze. Every once in a while he'd want to go with the Louis Trey, right? At the
okay.
So yeah. we're out, we go to like three or four places and let's just say we had had enough, right?
But Sebo was paying for it, right?
No, we never dinner they okay. did. Dinner they did. We never sent a bill for it.
What's the name of the guy? Jim Jordan character. Don't exactly say yes, don't exactly say no. You just stretch it.
No, we would hit them up for dinner, but we wouldn't hit them up for our after dinner cocktails. I mean,
gotcha.
I mean,
mighty white of you.
Well, yeah. So So we get back into We get back in the hotel, and we need like nothing more at this point, right? So he looks up and he sees his bottle of Louis Trey, which I don't even like. I mean, I'm not a big cognac fan anyway. So he goes, by the way, how much do you guys get for a shot of whatever, you know, they don't call it a shot, it's a snifter glass of Louis Trey.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, like $95, and he says to me, we got to have one. That's a bargain. I said, at this point, we don't need a bargain. I don't even like this stuff. So, of course, we sit down, and the guy pours us. I don't think the guy even knew what Louis Trey was. We get like about three fingers of the stuff, which you know, obviously is way too much. But he says, don't you enjoy it? Isn't this great? I go, I told you before, I don't even like this stuff. But anyway, it was okay, I guess. But it certainly wasn't needed, shall we say. But it was a bargain for it. So whatever is a bargain, you got to go for it.
How they, at Capital Grill, they upsell you. You know, like, hey, listen, you have McConnell. Yes, we do, of course. What year? Yeah. We got 12, we got 18, we got 21. And then they come back and say, you know, I was just only out of 18 and 21, but we got 30s.
Oh, yeah, we got the 30 stuff. There you go.
And you got to sing with this blonde. What are you going to do? And you're not going to drink 12. I said, okay, you know what? Bring the 30s, but don't show me the bill. Just bring it.
Unbelievable. You would think,
because if you knew how much the cost is, and before you start the drink, you may not even have the first sip. You say, hey, I don't think, maybe I need to call Obama and get a second out of my house.
Well, at least Louis Trey,
this guy is not going to give you a second out of the house, but I might as well call Obama.
But the bottle's worth like $100 to Louis Trey. I don't think it is at Macallan.
Yeah, but Jesus. Yeah. And then, of course, we are completely out of Macallan's 40s.
All right, I have a question for you.
McCown 40s bottle, if you, you gotta get it online, the special order. It's $6,400 a bottle. Imagine what Capital Good markup would be for that.
All right,
Welcome to America.
For a guy who actually likes to tip 20%.
I don't do 20.
Well, I'm saying,
this 20% down here for Christmas, that's legitimate, sanctioned slavery. Come on.
Well, what I'm saying is,
I thought we abandoned slavery in 1865. No,
if Matty Weber all of a sudden,
those are your buddies. I mean, you're your people, right?
Say Matty Weber goes out and gets us.
Is it in Orlando, Lincoln?
So Matty Weber gets us a big sponsor and a huge radio station to go on in the morning. I say, Matty, I'll buy you a Louis Trey. So now I buy two of these things at $1.25 a shot, even though I don't like them. So that's $2.50. Do I got to give the guy $50 for pouring me two shots?
Not for drinks.
Yeah.
I don't believe you have to tip 20% on drinks. Drinks, I think a standard deal is a dollar or a couple dollars a drink. 20% on food service when they're actually taking care of you for a couple hours.
So we just spent $600 on two drinks, and I'm going to give this guy $4. What's he going to look? He's going to look at us like,
You do that down here. They won't even park your car next time. should see how they parked my car when I came out.
All they're doing is pouring you a drink.
I got 20. I said, just take care of my baby. He looks at me like, which one, the car or the bed?
We were staying. We had a. I won't say boondoggle. We had one of these. Yeah,
and needless to say, I wasn't tipsy or anything. It even started early, so I was absolutely sober.
Well, the we were down at Turnberry. The CBOE had this marketing event, and since I was chairman of the marketing committee, so we got all these guys from all these member firms. We're down at Turnberry. The place is beautiful. That's where Michael Jordan played like the 80 holes of golf before the playoff game the one time. Anyway, so they have this wedding rehearsal dinner. So the wedding was going to be the next day. I never saw anything like it. I mean, if you had a Cadillac, you'd have to move it out a lot because it was nothing but Rolls and everything. So this lady pulls up in his Rolls convertible. I don't know how old she was. She almost runs over the valet guy. The guy goes, just get out. We'll take care of it. He says to her, they help her out and get before she kills somebody.
I was running a little bit late, and as I pulled in, because there was a group of us, you know, it was our club Christmas party. So I was running a little bit late. As I pulled in, there were a couple of vendors around me. One gal was completely out of line. And so I don't know what happened there, but when I come back, they got my car sandwiched between two Lambos. I said, okay, that's a nice club to be in.
Well, Audrey's.
My car is no Lambo. Not yet.
Audrey's quizzing
him.
I'm still
working on a Bentley.
The rehearsal dinner for 200 people was like something like $7.50 a plate. This was 1998.
Jesus.
Oh, Murray. Yeah. Oh, Murray.
So
you were making some serious shekels back then.
I wasn't. No, this was not for me. This is a party at the place we were staying. So Audrey goes into the ladies' room and she comes out and she goes, it's a good thing we're honest people, or maybe not so good. And I go, why? She goes, the old lady that almost ran the guy over, I saw her in the ladies' room. If I'd have rolled her for her jewelry, neither one of us would have to work for the rest of our life.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Anyway, Fry, what's going on? We have other than there's not going to be a China deal. We go flying down for 2 days. Oops.
Well, we've been that for how long now?
Yeah, we did 700 points this week. That's pretty good. Did a downside.
Yeah, well, next week we'll probably have news for you that there will be a China deal.
Well, yesterday.
The people I talk to, of course, not the same people you do, but, you know, their consensus opinion is that he's got some money in the hedge funds. He needs the volatility.
Well, maybe. Now it's this morning, China gives little indication trade talks are progressing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure. Uh-huh. Listen, we go back to what we said day one when all this started, which is about, April of 2018. And they're trying to use it as a benchmark, trying to go back to that again, according to Mulvaney. But we're dealing with imbalanced presidents in the middle of a possible inquiry. That was last year. Okay. Now, of course, now becoming
the impeachment.
Mueller. Now it's a full blown
impeachment.
Impeachment. And then, on the other side, you've got, a cadre of engineers running the Politburo, and they have no elections. And they have no really freedom of speech. Figure the difference. They gotta sit this out. That's what game theory teaches us. They gotta sit this thing out. If you think otherwise, I don't know what they put in your Kool-Aid this morning.
Well,
we said this a long time. Of course, I got a lot of hate mail. I mean, this is Trumpkin land down here. I mean, last night at dinner, probably 80% were with head down, quiet. They didn't want to look up my face and say hello because they know I've been right, but they made the ridiculous comments about me for like a year and a half, and now they can eat blank.
Well, how do we go? I mean, if we end up with some sort of a deal here, let's say if.
There won't be,
but I'm saying you're killing me. I mean, we started out.
I did tell you, Happy Hanukkah.
No, no,
you want to hear it again?
Listen to me for a sec. We started out as being part of this Pacific Trade Agreement, okay, which included everybody really but China, right? So I think the better strategy would have been, and it's always easy looking back, would have been to get ourselves into that and use that entire group. Because China was not part of it, to put pressure on China as a group. Now, that would have been my style. Our guy decides to pull out of that totally, and now we can't really pull out of it. Well, no, what's the one that we can't pull out? That's the Paris Climate Accord. Forget I said that. Now we're going to do something one-to-one with China. So we're going to go from having an agreement with 50 countries other than China to having an agreement only with China. I mean, what the hell does that do? I mean, I can't even conceive of why we'd want to do that, assuming we get there. And you're saying we're not even going to get there. We still don't have. Why do we not have an agreement with our friends? We got an agreement with these guys. I mean, I just the strategy escapes me.
Yeah. Well, there is no strategy.
There was this
child psychology guy from Harvard the other night, and Ross O'Donnell, I don't listen to this guy much, but it was snippet, it was late that night, so it was a replay. So I'm jumping on TV to try to catch up on the news, but it's playing this one, and the talk is about, what age is it Grumpino in? What is his age? Terrestrial age, not his behavioral age, I should say, not terrestrial.
Well, you looking at
not terrestrial behavior. Sorry, I need more coffee.
You're looking for? I think he's still in the anal stage.
Yeah, well, they still say that he's young kid coming up, probably is trying to get into a decent grammar school. Why? And boom, he went through all the cases, boom, 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 boom. And and that's what a lot of people have reported. Read the book Chaos, Fire and Fury. Look at the comments from some key people on the ex-cabinet members. Some of them kept very, very quiet, like General Mattis. But look at Tillerson. I would take Tillerson as a good sign of character. The guy only ran Exxon, yeah. And he had to deal with some 125 different countries. Okay, so I think he was there about 40 years. I figured that.
I think Tillerson was a pretty bright guy.
Yeah. I think he's a character, and that's what he said. I don't think he's got mental developmental issues. I mean, so I don't know. He says one thing. 2 minutes later, something else. How could that be? And then he said, "I don't even know the guy." Look what he said about Prince Andrew. And the moment he says that, the internet just explodes with a picture of him about whoever he said he didn't know. So
One thing's for sure about
it's
these.
It's sad that we got into this low level. Okay, although the fear that Clinton's, and you know me, I'm as anti-Clinton as it could be. I wish Bill was impeached, but obviously we don't have grounds. Back in the '98. But or 99 plus, I guess. But my point is, out of fear of that she could get elected, look what we ended up with.
Yeah. Well, hey, Farrah, I got a market question here because we could go on this other stuff forever.
Go. Sure.
With the different people that I manage money for, different groups, it seems to across all the groups, probably the single biggest holding, and one I get asked questions for all the time, is this Apple. And I, to be honest with you, I keep saying I have no idea what. I'm stunned that with the North and the South lobbing cannonballs over essentially the church in the middle, which is Apple, that not one has fallen out of it. I'm sort of, I don't want to tell people to sell it because all it does is go up. The last thing I want to do is say, sell it at whatever, 170. Now I think it's 270.
That's going to be my next trading system.
Yeah, it's like.
Take the other side, whatever the chief is telling you. Okay, all right, I got it.
But honestly, I cannot form.
I'm kidding.
I mean, if he asked me about an oil stack, he asked me about, I'd say, look, doesn't look like oil's going to, 75 anytime soon, right? So, I mean, these oil stacks maybe won't perform. I have some sort of an opinion, whether it's a good one or not. I have no idea.
That's reliable.
Yeah, but I have no idea. Yeah. How these guys have managed not only to walk through this minefield between us and China, but amazingly proper. Is it just because the stock's going up? Has it become just a momentum play? Are they somehow gaining strength from this? I don't see how they could be, but maybe they are. I mean, are the people piling in there? Whenever you get this narrow market stuff where four or five stocks, I think I looked at Apple and Microsoft this year, 1,100 points in the Dow. I mean, it's a hell of a lot.
63 in the last trade, 263, and look at Microsoft is 150.
So I
don't know. That was a very good, interesting conversation last night. Obviously, I didn't. As you know, Naples is like fourth largest net worth per capita, not income, because already they're retired. But they've already made their income, but they're retired in the nation, just of a county. And so, yeah, a lot of stuff coming out. This is what I do. So, obviously, this is coming up. Much of this mail to my hot dates, but, she wants to talk about Instagram, not the stocks and bonds and all that stuff. But it's a tough advice. I mean, listen, I've been very cautious about Amazon. I'm not sure what's going to happen with them. I've been very bullish on Microsoft. And to some degree, I admit here that Apple has surprised me. I've done better than I expected. I mean, 263 now. So, and you would think in the trade war, this would be one of the two early victims. Hasn't been the case. No. I have no clue. I don't know. I don't. As one person told me in 2008, out of New York Stanford area, Connecticut, the hedgy types, all the correlation is going to break down soon and going to stay broken. Well, that normalized. But I think we could be entering another phase like that. Because we're going to go down. It's just that correlation may not work because we have so much chaos.
Could be just as simple as the market thinks that this guy and Trump have become best buddies for somehow, and that the tariffs are going to keep evading them and keep getting put on Samsung and those kinds of things. Might just be that simple. Seems a little too simple, but That might just, people might actually believe that. And maybe, and they could be right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're going to put a 25% tariff on Samsung, but, you know, what's his name? Cook's going to go to the White House and Trump's going to come out and say, he gave me a good case against tariffs in his place. Well, do you think?
I believe him on. Here it is. Yeah.
But I mean,
let me write you a check. Yeah.
Well, but, yeah, but the, I would say that every single person, I mean, the guys I know from the South Side that put in, windshields and stuff for cars, that all of a sudden their price went up 10% in one day. I'll bet they could tell Trump, boy, you know, it's hurting my business. Everybody's got a story to tell. It's a question of who you let in. But the idea that you can make rules and because you like somebody, not exempt them from the rules. I don't even think Caesar did that.
Earlier today we discussed that Harvard cardiovascular specialist that talking about the applied, observed issues that the baby has. I just, none of it makes sense. And we're the largest economy, most powerful military, and then you know, he just talks. And when it comes to action, he can't even pull the trigger. I don't know.
Well,
there's so much we don't know.
How much of the Microsoft, incredible success this year is due to them getting that contract with the Pentagon that Amazon felt they deserved?
Yeah, but I don't think they have any chance. I don't think Amazon's got any chance.
I mean, they already
gave
it to Microsoft.
There may be some conflict issues, but technology-wise, they don't have any chance. I mean, we use both the clouds, both Microsoft and Amazon. And more power to Amazon. But I'm not a streamer. Okay, I'm not Netflix. I need operating system powers, and that only comes from the guys who create the operating system. Hello, which is Microsoft. And in this case, it's hybrid. This is what's called hybrid cloud, and actually, we're kind of deploying that on a very, 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 very tiny, small scale. But servers on your data center for most critical, sensitive stuff, especially like Pentagon, and then general stuff. You know, HR and accounting and all that on the cloud. And you can mix the two. And the king of that is Scott Guthrie, which is now executive VP of Microsoft. Everybody else is behind. Yeah. I mean, Google, I don't think Google even have a chance on that.
Well, for our buddy Kevin, who calls in a couple of days a week, he used to be the IT guy for Better World Books. Now, those guys...
Right, of course.
So those guys had, you know, obviously these huge spikes since they do a lot of textbook. I don't know. He's a Trumpkin, but he's a Republican.
Of course. No, I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
But I was never a Trumpkin. So, well, at least, wait a second. Let me correct that for the record. I was a Trumpkin up to about Comey firing. When he fired Comey, no more Trumpkin. Went back to legacy.
I'm sure he voted for him versus Hillary, which, you know, I can get. But,
what I'm saying is
Kevin, they would have spikes in their computer stuff when the textbooks came out in Christmas. So they'd have, three or four distinct spikes during the year. So Kevin knows, you know, probably more about actually executing the cloud stuff. And it's funny in this world how these big companies, it's so insidious. I mean, where if you were to ask the man on the street, they're going to say, cloud, geez, you got to be Microsoft, you got to be Amazon. And who's the other guys that are big in there?
IBM.
But
IBM is not big, but it's trying. And Google. This is the four... These are the top four, but
right, so
really number
well, that's
one.
What I'm trying
the
to
biggest
push.
is still,
that's what I'm trying to push back on you. Is Kevin goes, it's very competitive. There's people in southwest Michigan that have a server farm that do the cloud for people in that area, and they're very competitive with Microsoft and these other guys. You need computing capacity for 4 weeks in September.
If you look at the history of how Amazon has dropped prices after they speed it up. It's just like, building 35 nanometer ICs versus sevens. And as the technology gets better, they drop the price. I mean, what we used to pay for our Amazon cloud, it's ridiculous what we're paying now.
My point is,
almost nothing.
Because these names are in the world, you listen to them on CNBC. Listen to the Fox and look at the book. You would never even know that there were smaller cloud providers that have been around forever to do a great job.
Well, my point is, by pushing it down, some of these guys have to be super efficient or they're going to be slaughtered. They're already in a commodity business. But I was talking about different. The hybrid cloud is a technological marvel. There aren't too many people there to compete. It's really Amazon and Microsoft. Most of them didn't even have no clue what hybrid
I'm going to ask.
Just read the contract award. All about, and then of course, Pentagon, just like before, as a military, is leading that. So that's new. And there's no, between the two of them, it'd be a competition. But it's juicy. It's a juicy contract.
All right, what I'm saying, and we'll talk about it next week, because I'm going to talk about it with Kevin tomorrow. I don't think they're the only people in there, but because they're the big, it's like the only people that can bid for a plane is Boeing. They're the only one left. But there actually are people in this thing that, anyway, Farry, thank you very much, buddy.
I meant it scale-wise too. Obviously, DOD is not going to order one little server, right?
Right, so we need, I would like,
happy Hanukkah to you. I got a hop.
I don't like.
Thank you.
So don't worry about the McCallan for Maddie and I when we come down on the edge. I don't even like Scotch. So S&P futures up 10.25. Be right back, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Allen. Mr. Matt Weber. Mr. David Adelman as well. SP Futures up 875. NASDAQ Futures up 32. Dow Futures up 93. It was up higher than that when we came in. We were up 1275, so we're down maybe a third of that. So not much. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX still down 4, so they're doing nothing. Call that flat. FTSE down 16.2. CAC run up a little bit, though. Up 38, that's 0.7%. In Asia, we got rallies here. We've been down earlier in the week, but now we're coming back up. Nikkei up 164, 0.7%. Shanghai up 21.7. Hang Seng up 154.6. Bonds, again, the yields here, we stopped going to the upside. Japan is now minus 0.04. Couldn't quite make it positive. The Bund minus 0.30. Still way more towards even than the 0.79 it was a few months ago. 10-year Treasury, 1.79. You know, we'll see if we break through that 1.8 tomorrow or next week. Trend seems to be up here, at least a little bit. Gold is up $1.30, 1481. Silver up 1 penny, 1685. And we've got oil, with OPEC talking about deeper cuts. It's up 33 cents, 0.6%. The high end of the range at 58.76. We'll ask David where he thinks this is going. Brent up, 63 cents, 63.66. Natural gas, 243. That's up a whole 3 cents. A little bit up, but not that much. Evidently, the storm out east was a pain in the behind, but evidently it wasn't all that cold. RBOB is up a penny to 162. Anyway, we got for us Trevi Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have an issue on the south side. Lakeshore Drive northbound at 67th Street. There's a crash blocking two lanes that's causing all kinds of congestion coming toward downtown on Lakeshore Drive. So keep that in mind if you're heading toward Lakeshore Drive on the northbound side down by 67th Street, because that's the big concern right now. No issues coming in on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford, though. Normal traffic volumes there. Same for the Stevenson. Traffic building heavily on the Eisenhower, but no accidents to report. Same for the Kennedy and Edens. That earlier crash on the Edens at Foster is all clear, but still resulting congestion from that in both directions. Off the expressways, out in Wheaton in the western suburbs, Roosevelt Road at Hale Street, there is a crash that's affecting Roosevelt Road. Just south of that in Naperville, Yackley Avenue at Ohio, there is a crash. And southwest of that near Bolingbrook, Olympus Drive between Triton Lane and Washington is closed for water main repairs. So the right lane of southbound Washington is also closed from Gardner to Olympus, all until about 1 p.m. this afternoon, so you'll want to avoid that area. Only other issue to report is there's a garage fire, Home Avenue at 14th Street, that is affecting a portion of the power lines as well.
That's not good.
On the west side. But everything else looking okay out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, relatively mild temperatures for early December, a high of 46. Right now it is clear and 32 degrees downtown. Should be decent weather for the Bears game, expecting a 38-degree kickoff at just after 7 o'clock tonight, Chicago time, and then we'll be in the low to mid-30s as that game progresses. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 69 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 56. In sports, the Bulls beat the Grizzlies last night at the United Center 106-99. Suns were blown out by the Magic in Orlando 128-114. College hoops, DePaul stays unbeaten. They beat Texas Tech at Wintrust Arena last night, 65-60 in overtime. DePaul's best start in 33 years. They're 9-0. Notre Dame was blown out in Maryland 72-51, and the ACC loses the Big Ten ACC Challenge to the Big Ten 8-6. Chief.
That's the reason why natural gas is 243, Matty. 30 degrees. Just saying.
What are you talking about?
Natural gas is cheap because you're saying it's nice weather for December.
That it's, you said 30 degrees. It's going to be 46 today.
30, even for the Bear game.
Yeah.
So do you think the people who scheduled the night game in December in Chicago had a real feel for the fans in the stands?
Oh, they couldn't care less.
No, they care less. Pretty soon it's going to be what they used to call them, the studio audiences.
That's right.
David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
We was talking with Fari about Apple, one I cannot get my finger on. With this, all the stuff going on with China back and forth, they seem to be a winner no matter what. I don't know if that's just because it looks like a winner or because it is a winner or what, but it's a pretty bizarre deal, I think.
Well, they employ a lot of Chinese. I mean, I think that's at the heart of it. I think that it's obviously beneficial for us to not have any, you know, big-time you know, or increased tariffs, let's put it that way. And I think that, you know, yes, they could have a target on their back. China just have to say, you know, hey, Apple Pay. But, you know, that could threaten some of the workforce, and I shouldn't say I don't think they're going to do it. I don't know, other than short-term in bargaining over trade deal, that it would help them for the long term.
Right now, David, I have, you know, I see this stuff flying by me. What exactly is the status now? Do we have tariffs on? No, Samsung is not made in China, correct? It's made in Korea, right?
Korea.
All right. So, do we have tariffs on Samsung and not Apple, or is it just China we've got the tariffs on? Or are we doing stuff with Korea? I mean, it's hard to keep track.
I don't think there's tariffs on South Korea.
Okay,
I don't know that, but I don't think there are.
But we've been pretty careful to not put tariffs on Apple to where they're at a disadvantage, but it doesn't appear they have an advantage either. It doesn't. I mean, what I can see.
No, the advantage has to be in, you know, ecosphere, if you will, and product. And, you know, I don't know, management. I mean, not that there haven't been failures and, you know, oopsies in Apple, there have been. But, I mean, you know, if you remember back, battery issues and fires and, you know, things like that. And I'm not, you know, Samsung is, from techies that I talk to, has more features and might be a better product. But, you know, for old schoolers like us, Apple's an easier product.
Well, the guys that are in, and once you're in that sort of Apple family,
it's hard to get out.
It's hard to pile out. I mean, I never was, so it's. I actually thought that the China situation, you know, vis-a-vis off again on again talks and whatever, was reaching a point where market was getting a little bored with it. Now this week, anything but that. We're down almost 700 points at one point from the top, and now we're back from there of solid 400 probably, or 350. Good thing I didn't say that, because I'd have been wrong. Right? I mean, because clearly this week, you know, Trump's saying, well, who knows what, all the different stuff that goes into the market movement.
And 5 minutes from now it might be different.
Yeah, but I mean, it appears that maybe we're just ready to go down, and we got other kinds of bad news with the economy slowing and all those kinds of things. But let's just say, if you're watching the headline news, Trump says we're not going to have, might not have a deal till after the election, and he'd be okay with that, and we go flying down. And all of a sudden, out of all people, yesterday Bloomberg says, you know, well, wait a minute, the talks are still ongoing and they're making progress, and we come flying back some. Maybe we're down too low. Who the hell knows? But it seems like, you know, let's do this dance again. Even bigger this time, which I, you know.
This dance may be a long, long recording.
It already is. You know, it's like when you hear somebody at TV, and they go, or anybody, even me, where they go, you almost say it to yourself. When you say to make a long story short, you almost mentally say, too late.
I'm guilty as charged.
Oh, God. Yeah. And it's, well, so today, I mean, that's probably in the news. We have that horrific ADP number yesterday. I mean, we haven't been under 100 ADP in how long? I mean, it was 67?
Wow.
I don't know if you spotted that. So we've got the labor numbers tomorrow. You know, we'll try and get Carl on, talk about them maybe tomorrow. And I don't, we're still looking at over 200,000, right? And what if, Chris, this is a...
Well, these numbers, though, I mean, when you start taking in November numbers and you're, you know, talking, and I have no, you have a much better idea because you dissect the numbers, I don't. But when you're talking, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving and Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all that stuff, I mean, you know, Amazon put on, you know, a ton of workers in advance, purportedly, in their fulfillment centers and in, you know, their trucks for same day or one day shipping. And others, you know, like Macy's, you know, I don't want to limit it to this, but, you know, they basically said, you know, we're going to sell fragrances because that's where the margin is, and we're going to, you know, just blow out the apparel. So, I mean, it's really difficult. And then you get the part-timers that are hired for Christmas, and then maybe after Christmas and the, you know, gift cards and returns, maybe they're gone. So these numbers, I would tend towards calling them spurious.
I would agree. But what Carl does is he takes last year versus this year, and then that takes the adjustment out of it.
Okay.
So here's my.
As I said, you guys would know a lot better than I.
Well, here's because it's a big adjustment month. I think I remember saying once, Manny, that I read some article that if you don't get 200,000 new hires in December, it's considered a negative month. I mean, that's how big the adjustment is. From people going, you know, working just for December. But just from what I see on the internet, David, just my everyone knows that I'm the world's worst shopper and I can't stand shopping. So
Audrey takes the reins.
No, we just say we're not doing gifts. we'll go to a nice place for dinner or something. But the
not a bad idea.
Yeah. So but I'm saying it appears to me, since I was telling a story last night to people, I said, well, I used to pile out of the pit 3:15 on Christmas Eve, run over to Marshall Fields, get my guy downstairs, and within 10 minutes, I got a nice, you know, I'd go to the polo area or someplace. I got a nice shirt or something for my stepfather, something for my brother, you know, a nice, the stuff in a half hour is wrapped and done, and I'd buy like a couple of those things that I could barely carry back. We got like two bottles of wine and cheese and all that crap in there because they're all half price because it's Christmas Eve, right?
Right.
And I'd be back at the series by 5 o'clock with all my bags of my stuff. But it seems to me now, because, you know, for me personally buying stuff, it's always been hard because I need a tall size. Even right. When I was skinny, I needed one, an extra tall then. But what I'm saying is, I was buying stuff online before other people did, because the only places you could get tall sizes were L.L. Bean, Eddie Bauer, those kinds of places. And everything they have, there's in a tall. Okay, so it's not like I'm a shopper kind of guy. So I'm on the mailing list of all these people. And what I've noticed, David, is I don't think you can go Christmas Eve anymore. There is no Fields. The inventory these people have is fairly narrow. I mean, if I'm going to go get my size or a size where I know my nephews or whatever, and plus I get stuff in the mail every day. It's, you know, 25% off for the next 2 days to start the season at L.L. Bean or what's the other place? Duluth Trading or someplace like that. It seems to me, oh, again, please, both of you guys tell me I'm nuts, which you'd like to do anyway. I'm going to say that if I got my list together, and a couple of people in there were, say somebody's a tall or somebody else is big, he's a double X or something, why don't I just do all my crap this weekend, get my six or seven things, get it online, where I'm going to get my 25% off, why go to the place? And then as time goes by, if I forget somebody or something, or I don't like what I got, I go the last day or two, the last weekend, and go to the store and actually look for something for somebody. I think that's what we're seeing.
No question.
And I think the whole Christmas shopping season is starting to look very barbelled. It's very much the beginning and very much at the end.
Big retailers like, you know, Kohl's hooking up with Amazon for returns, and, you know, Walmart and others, and Target too, and many really big box stores that have done very well. I'm not sure about Best Buy, but basically go see it in the store. Go online to get, you know, whatever discounts available. Get it delivered, and if you don't like it, you can bring it back to the store.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what's happening.
But, I mean, I know that if I want to get, say, one of my nephews, a pretty big kid, he's a double X tall. I know that if I want to get him something that in the color I like, it's, you know, in one of those places, I better do it now. Because it's not going to be there Christmas Eve.
Right.
I mean, so I think, Manny, am I right or wrong? I think the whole Christmas shopping experience, it certainly isn't a normal-looking curve anymore. I think it's a barbell-looking curve, where everybody does a lot the first weekend, then it kind of flattens low for a while, then everybody looks and sees what they don't have, and all of a sudden, oops, I better get the girlfriend and one more present. Then you go out the last day and you do that, is what I'm seeing. Again, it's not just as a casual observer and not that much of a shopper. Manny, you think I got am I on to anything here or no?
I honestly have no idea.
What
I've never thought about this once in my life.
Well, have you bought my present yet?
I have not bought you a present, but I usually just one day go buy presents and then I'm done.
If there could be a worse shopper on earth than me, it's got to be you.
I don't know. I mean, I never really put that much thought into it. You, one day for a couple hours, you get everything done and you move on with your life.
Well, okay, but I'm saying is they're hitting you up right out of the gate. If you want your 25% off, you better do it early.
I've never paid attention to that stuff either.
Well, you know, you're a wealthy young man.
Well, I'm definitely not, but I just never think about it.
You know what? I tell you what, if you expanded the amount of people you bought presents for, like, say, me, and you had to buy, like, 30 of them, then you put more thought into it.
I get the fiancé, the mom, and the nieces and nephews, and I'm out of there.
What about your poor bro? What about me? What about David?
You don't buy guys gifts.
That's the truth.
He only buys gifts for good golfers.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't buy guys gifts, so I never had to buy, like, maybe I'll get something small for my dad or something, but yeah, typically don't ever buy guys gifts. Just get the girl, get the mom, and get the nieces and nephews, and you're done.
Well, I share.
I never look at a sale.
Then
I don't think
peace.
About it.
Make the girl or woman happy, and you can be peaceful.
Exactly.
Even you, Maddie, though, in the old days on Christmas Eve, if you see those really great looking baskets with like three bottles of wine and five cheeses that were $150 and they're $60, you got to grab one.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, but I would never be shopping on Christmas Eve.
I'm telling you, that was the time. Why not?
Well, because that's a day you're usually doing something.
Well, I'm just
or at
saying.
My family, Christmas Eve is like a big day. You're not shopping on Christmas Eve.
It used to take me an hour and a half.
Yeah, how about the 26th after, you know, everyone opens the gifts, don't like them, and return them, and so there's more inventory, and what hasn't sold, they mark down big time. Wouldn't the 26th be a good time to buy?
Well, you know, Dr. J's family, his mom, talk about an interesting combo. His mom grew up on a farm with three sisters. I don't think they had a dime, right? You know, Dad, of course, is a big-time surgeon, and, you know, they ended up having some money. They actually would have, everybody would shop, they would exchange gifts, like, the week after Christmas, New Year's Eve.
I get it.
He said they would all go out on Christmas.
Now, that's
smart.
Day after
and buy stuff. The only thing now, though, is what I'm trying to say, and I'm losing it in my discussion, as usual, is with the just-in-time inventory, and, man, you take a tall, I would think, at least, maybe an extra tall, I'm going to say you if you want something for yourself, a Christmas gift, you can't wait. You're going to walk in there, you know, on the 23rd, and go, we're out of that. I mean, these guys don't inventory up like they used to. I don't think. So I mean, if you want something particular, I mean, your girlfriend, I mean, you go anywhere and buy something for her. She's a perfect size.
And those that have, like Macy's and L Brands and whatever, and even Nordstrom's to an extent, when they over inventoried, they got caught.
As much as I used to like Marshall Fields, Maddie, you and I could never have shopped there. There wasn't a tall in the place in anything.
Yeah.
Maybe a suit or something. You know, we probably could have got a suit, but that's about it. I mean,
I've never liked big department stores. It's too many people, too much traffic, takes forever, nowhere to park. Not my thing. I'd rather duck into a couple of shops locally and or order online and be done with it.
See, now you're this is the world has changed a little bit now, but I'll tell you this. I don't know if this is talk for radio, but if you like, say, looking at other people, not necessarily guys, if you know what I mean, Marshall Fields at lunchtime, back when it was Marshall Fields, the best place in the city. Best place in the city. Every young lady in town is in there buying something at lunchtime. Just saying.
Yeah, State Street, even today, if you want to walk around, State Street and or the Riverwalk are now the places, any of those places, where, lunchtime in the summer, walking around, can't beat it.
Just saying, you know, I'm not casting any, throwing say what we're looking at or what we're doing. We're just saying it makes you good to be alive, doesn't it? Yes. All right, Dave, let's talk about the market a little bit. We came flying down, now we're coming back up. Doesn't look like we're going to, at least today, make it back up to where we were last week. Is this a little bit of a turndown, or is this just, it doesn't look to
very
me like...
Very interesting. You've been asking me for weeks, how do we know when it's over? How do we know? How do we know? And I said, let the market tell you. It's got to be, you know, either a real key reversal where you make a new high, close lower, and take out the lows of the previous day, and follow through to the downside, or one of those exhaustion scenarios where the market gaps up, stays up, but closes near the lows and then gaps down. Well, Monday it did exactly the first scenario. It made a new high, closed lower, took out the lows of the three previous days, and closed below them. Then the next day, 3090, basis December S&P E-mini future, was very key. If you took out 3090 and closed below 3090, you could go to 30 and a quarter. What did it do? It went to 3069 and a half. So it took out the 90 by big time, over 20 handles. And where did it close? 3091.
So what does that mean?
Well, if you take out key support and project lower, and then the shorts let it up and it closes back above, then the shorts have problems. So what happened? Yesterday it rallied and it's up today. So that doesn't necessarily mean that one washout was it, but what have we seen? In our remarks about, you know, possible topping scenarios, which had followed to the team Monday and Tuesday, you know, I also indicated that the history for the last many months was every 2 to 5 or at most 6% break has been bought. How much did it break? From 3158 to 3069. What is that? 3%.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm not patting myself on the back because the market is going to do, and the 3069 low, which I'm not going to sit here and say I bought, I did not. But there was a bottom of a Bollinger band at 3066 and a half. So it went within 2.5 handles of a huge, huge support, and then the short said, let me out. This is one where, and again, no kudos to me, but this is one you put up on the blackboard in front of a group and say, this is why a lot of folks are turning to technicals.
I don't disagree. The weird part is you follow the, if you think, or even have a shred of thought, that there's, people, what we say, wanting the market to stay up, or at least not go down very much, it appears that there's some sort of an announcement from a government, not necessarily ours, that turned the market to the downside. I'm thinking, how many times now, David, since you and I have been doing a show, or for the last how many years, really since 2008, you can't, once you get past two down days, somebody somewhere, and I didn't buy it.
I mean,
either.
They refer to it as a 3-day rule.
Yeah.
Third day, you buy it.
Yeah.
And I mean, other than, you know, a few times, 2015 to 16, and, you know, a little bit in 2014, and whatever, and, you know, last quarter of 2018 and May and August of this year, so, you know, that's maybe 5-6 periods, that has been the play. Don't get carried away on the upside. Try not to buy rallies. Wait for a 2-6% break, and when you get one, edge in.
Well, it's also, it's not just, well, it is people coming in and buying. It's not just that. Whatever piece of news caused it to go down the 2 days, by the morning of the third day, coincidental with the rally, there is some other utterance from someplace essentially refuting the news that maybe started to go down in the first place.
Instead of, it might be better for America to have a deal after the election the insiders are quote-unquote saying that there might be a rollback of some existing tariffs. How that happened.
Well, because it's, you know, Trump doesn't want the market. He wants to be a bombastic with the Chinese. Okay, fine, I get that. It's a negotiating thing, and that's his style.
Leverage.
And it's a leverage thing. But then all of a sudden, he's all, you know, holy bleep, Batman, look what happened to the market for 2 days. We better at least put a little salve on that wound, because I don't want the thing down all week. And I don't know how he managed to get Bloomberg to come out and say it. But
I get it. I get what you're saying, and it sure seems to be the pattern.
Yeah, but, you know, the question is, why can't I, you know, I feel like I'm the big dummy. What was the old joke about the guy who watched the John Wayne movie and he fell off his horse, and the guy bet him that he wouldn't fall off the horse, and he goes, and he lost, and the guy goes, well, I saw the movie before. And he goes, well, why did you bet me? And he goes, I never thought he'd do it twice.
You know what I mean? But when we've seen it dozens of times. I mean, there's always the exception, and that was last quarter of 2018, where the market, and it was broad, took a real dump. But that has been the exception.
I will say this, David, real quickly, because I don't want to flip out any names or anything, but I'm doing some work for a group. I do, you know, some of my Protect Index program now I'm doing for other people than just PTI. Some of the people who bought the dip early last November, where did they get murdered? Boy, did they get murdered. I mean, they did the 2-3 day thing and a lot of stocks, the stock was down like 5% and 3% and bought in with both hands, and a week later the stock was, you know, down 25%. I mean, you gotta be careful when you do that. It seems like it's easy, but it's not. SP futures up 8.25. NASDAQ futures up 29. Thank you, David. Thank you, Manny. Back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.